CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It comes to you from G4NJH in Nottingham. You can find the script on the RSGB's own website. So good morning, it's Sunday the 2nd of November 2014. This is GB2RS News. Here are the main news headlines. Extra 1 MHz on 2 metres now active for experimenters. Confusion over Cornish K prefix, new 70-centimetre beacon in Northern Ireland. Friday, October 31st, marked the start of the 146 to 147 megahertz experiment in the UK. The band is only available to UK full licensees via a notice of variation. You can apply for your NOV via the RSGB website under the operating tab. Look for licensing and NOVs. The additional spectrum has been made available on a temporary basis to encourage amateurs to experiment and test new communication schemes and systems, rather than to provide for more of the same. An initial band plan and further information is available on the RSGB website. The RSGB has received a significant number of inquiries expressing confusion and concern about the unexpected allocation of the secondary prefix K for Cornwall. As a result, the board has written to Ofcom asking them to review their decision and consult on the changes that they are proposing. GB3NGI, the first of the new UK 70SEMS beacons, is now operational on its IRU-aligned frequency of 432.482 MHz. GB3NGI is located on an excellent hilltop site in Northern Ireland at IO65VB, and is licensed for 250 watts ERP on a 125 degree bearing. It transmits both CW and JT65B. Early reports already indicate 500 kilometres coverage across parts of the UK and Ireland. Further information at qsl.net/GB3NGI. And reception reports and map are on www.beaconspot.eu. The ARRL Centennial W1AW portable operation from American Samoa is expected to be underway from November the 2nd and continues for 12 days. W1AW/KH8 operations are expected to take place from two locations, from the station of Utigande, KS6FO, and the late AH8LG, and from the Maliu Mai Beach Resort, on the beach on the southwestern part of the island, which has hosted other KH8 operations. The international team will begin W1AW/KH8 operations from the two sites once all the antennas have been put up and or repaired. Plans call for three or four stations on all bands from 1.8 to 28 megs. Have you ever thought that radio exam questions could be better written? If you'd like to help strengthen the RCF question bank, an exam questions workshop will take place in Bath on Saturday the 6th of December. The aim of the workshops is to enable issues to be discussed openly so that attendees gain confidence in writing new questions on their own. There will be a couple of short presentations on what makes a good question and some examples of things that can go wrong. Attendees will be asked to bring some draft questions with them and share them with the group for peer review. Having gained some practice, it's hoped that attendees will submit further questions afterwards. RSGB book tokens are available for a number of accepted questions. Attendance is free for RSGB members. Anyone interested in attending should contact Steve Hartley, G0FUW, via g0fuw@rsgb.org.uk. To celebrate the 7th of November release of the film Interstellar, Warner Brother Pictures have teamed up with the SLU Community Space Observatory for a two-hour journey into space using your computer, laptop, tablet or smartphone. It all starts at 7 p.m. today, 2nd of November. Full details, www.mediapromos.co.uk/interstellar. The Radcom editor has provided material from the RSGB archives for the Science Museum video about early radio technology. Part of the New Information Age exhibit, the film is about the London radio transmitter 2LO that changed our world and marked the birth of British broadcasting. You can watch the video to find out more by going to sciencemuseum.org.uk and search for information age and click on broadcast. Now for details of rallies and events for the coming week, the Chelmsford Ideas Festival runs until the 2nd of November. Amongst the highlights is a talk by Professor Marconi, the grandson of the great Marconi, Jim 2E0RMI and Pete's M0PSX gave presentations in the Ideas Hub on the World of Amateur Radio from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday the 31st of October. There are no rallies taking place this weekend in the diary, but on the 9th of November the West London and Electronics Show will take place at the Kempton Park Racecourse, Staines Road East, Sunbury-on-Thames, TW165AQ. Doors open at 10 a.m. with disabled visitors having access 10 minutes earlier. There will be trade stands bring and buy special interest groups and an RSGB bookstall. Details from Paul M0CJX on 08451650351. If you have any rally or event information you'd like to appear in future editions of GB2RS News, Radcom or the website, please email details to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Now for the news of special events, look out for OL90OK from the 1st to the 15th of November, commemorating the 90th anniversary of the first amateur radio contact in the Czech Republic, which took place on the 8th of November 1924. Also keep an ear open for special event station IY1IEY that will be on the air between the 1st of November and the 31st of December, commemorating the experiments conducted by Marconi from his yacht Elettra between 1919 and 1936. Operations will be on all the HF bands, including 30, 17 and 12 metres, QSL IK1QBT direct. Now for DX News, compiled from the 425 DX News and other sources, 9Mike2SE will be on the air from Pancor Island, IOTA reference AS072, on the 8th and 9th of November, operating SSB and CW on the 10 to 40 metre bands. They'll be using 200 watt receivers, two 3-element Yagis for 10 and 15 metres, a vertical for 20, and junior G5RV for the 10 and 40 metre bands. K2HVN will be active stroke V09 from Bermuda, NA005, from the 3rd to the 10th of November. He plans operating 70 and 20 metres, using CW and SSB and 30 metre CW only, QSL home address. A team of experienced French operators will be activating Tromelin Island, AF031 as FT40A, until the 10th of November. They plan to have four stations on the F 10 days on the 10 to 160 metre bands, using SSB CW RITI, QSL F1NGP. Tromelin is number 10 in the most wanted DXCC lists. UA3IPL will be active as stroke JW from Spitsbergen Island, EU026, for 4 months starting on the 30th of October. His operation will be on the HF bands using slow speed Morse, SSB RITI PSK31 and JT65, QSL RW6 HS direct. Joel F3CJ is on trekking holiday in Nepal. Until the 4th of November, and will be signing 9N7CJ. Toshi JA8BMK will be in Nepal until the 20th of November. He'll be operating holiday style, all bands using 9N7BM, QSL's home call. Contest news: on Tuesday, the 144 Megs UK activity contest takes place 2000 to 2230 UTC, using all modes, the exchange's usual signal report, serial number and locator. Saturday the 8th, the club call contest runs from 2000 to 2300 UTC using SSB on the 80 metre band. The exchange is signal report, serial number and club code. The WAE DX RITI contest takes place for 48 hours next weekend, the 8th and 9th. It's the last of this year's WAE series. Everyone can work everyone. 3.5 to 28 megs bands, the exchange of signal report and serial number. Now for the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA and G4BAO on Friday the 31st. Giant sunspot region 2192 has now disappeared around the back of the sun, and luckily it didn't produce any major coronal mass ejections to upset HF conditions whilst it was visible. The region, though, was the source of numerous solar flares over the past 2 weeks, which caused a number of sudden ionospheric disturbances or fade-outs. When these occur, it is still worth checking the higher HF bands, such as 28 megs, since absorption is less at higher frequencies. Solar flux index levels this past week have been in the wide range of 217 to 150. The SFI is now lower, but conditions will remain good as long as the K index remains low. The smooth sunspot number for November for use in HF prediction programs like VOACAP is currently 69. For HF contacts around the world, 7 megs remains the best option during the day. With the critical frequency falling after dark, 80 metres may be a better option in the evening. For paths to the east coast of North America, the optimum working frequency should be 18 or 21 megs in the afternoon. With a reliability of about 80%, contacts on 28 megs should be possible, with a reliability of about 75%. Now, the VHF and up-propagation news, the weather in the coming week will be very unsettled, with a large area of slow-moving low pressure near northwest Scotland, followed by a second major low later in the week. These will produce strong winds at times and generally preclude enhanced tropospheric propagation. However, intense convection of cold air over warm seas will produce large cumulonimbus cloud and heavy showers, which may give some rain scatter opportunities on the upper gigahertz bands, chiefly near western coasts. A weak ridge of high pressure may transit the country midweek and could develop temperature inversions, which would marginally improve tropo prospects, although these are likely to be very minor. Low solar disturbance means a low probability of a VHF auroral propagation. We'll begin to see the onset of the Torrids meteor shower, which peaks on the 11th and 12th of November, albeit with a low zenithal hour rate of around 5. Remember that the best time for random non-shower meteor scatter contacts is around dawn. And that's it for this week from the propagation team. It's also end of this bulletin from me too. See you next week. Until today, I have been reading the local news for the UK Midlands, but I don't believe that this information is still required or being retransmitted over repeaters, so from this week I shall cease to do so. If, on the other hand, anybody does care to contact me and tell me that they still want the service, then I'll gladly provide it and put it back. Thank you.